Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Must Have Seen TV listeners. Before we get into today's super fun episode talking about a show that you've never seen before, but you're going to hear a lot of it, so it's going to basically be like watching it with director's commentary from people who aren't the directors at the same time as watching it. It's a whole thing. It's going to be fun. I just wanted to do a couple bits of business at the top of the show before we get into it. First of all, apologies for all of the delays recently in episodes. There have been just a lot of scheduling snafus on my burdened shoulders, but we are chugging along, and by we, I mean me. But yeah, there are 4 episodes in the can right now, so we've got a nice backlog. Some fun stuff is coming up. More sitcoms you've never heard of, and some that you have definitely heard of. I'm talking about The Simpsons. The Simpsons is coming. Second, kind of on this tip, if you want me to watch a show, please go to iTunes, leave a review for the show, write a review for Must Have Seen TV in iTunes, and in that review, let me know what show, specifically an episode, if you want to get that specific, that you'd like for me to watch. Only stipulations being it has to be an episode that was aired before, you know, January 31st, 1999, and including January 31st, 1999. And also an episode that I haven't done already, preferably like a show that I haven't done recently, but I can handle the scheduling. You don't have to get into that. And maybe the most important thing, a show that I can actually stream or purchase somewhere. But if there's a TV show that you've been dying for me to do, or a specific episode of a show I've already done that you would love for me to do, write a review in iTunes for the show and let me know in there. And third of all, before we get to the show today, I wanted to just do a little bit of memorial tribute to Harry Anderson, who recently passed away. If you want more of me talking about him, and specifically Night Court, you can go back to episode 22 of the podcast where Pat Bayer and I talked about the Night Court pilot, and specifically kind of how awesome of a leading man Harry Anderson was on that show. I've actually just started watching Night Court on, like, the day before he died, so feels like crappy timing, but it was really sad. He's really great on Cheers. I suggest everyone go and watch all of his Harry the Hat appearances, specifically if you want to watch The Boys in the Bar, season 1, you can watch that. He's in that episode. And you can go to Decider.com and search for Harry Anderson. I wrote a thing about his role as Harry the Hat that is up on Decider. But yeah, go back and listen to the Night Court episode if you missed it, episode 22 with Pat Bayer. And now let's get to Mary. Your tickets. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century, from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I'm your TV guide, Brett White, and I'm also a reporter producer for Decider.com. And this week I am joined once again by Elena Chmielewski. Hello, Elena.
Hi, Brett.
Hi.
Thanks for having me back.
Welcome back. You're doing some thematic episodes. You did Rhoda last time.
Yeah.
And now we're doing Mary.
Yeah. I only watch eponymous shows.
Lady shows with 1-2-syllable names. Rhoda, Mary. So welcome back to the show. What's going on?
excited to talk about this episode.
Yeah. Let's jump in to where we're going today. This week, we are traveling to January 1st, 1986. I guess they aired this episode on New Year's Day, which seems very weird to me. But whatever. Rocky IV ruled the box office. Say You Say Me by Lionel Richie topped the charts. And CBS aired the Mary episode, Everyone's a Critic, Elena, you must have seen Everyone's a Critic before today.
I can't say that I have.
No, that's why I've seen it before, but only because I watched a specific episode back in January when I discovered this show existed. So to everyone listening, we're not talking about the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which you probably were clued in when I said 1986, because Mary Tyler Moore is not an 80s show. In the 1980s, Mary Tyler Moore had a once half a season wonder, only lasted 13 episodes, that you can watch on YouTube, that someone has taken their VHS tapes and uploaded it all to YouTube.
I gotta say, based on this one episode, I want to see the rest.
You see? Yeah, like that's... I was very intrigued. I mean, when I found out... the reason that it sent my heart to flutter, like, why it's, like, my show, is that the cast on this is a stacked cast. I need to have the Wikipedia page open, definitely, because I'm gonna need help learning, like, what people's names are, for sure. But the main selling point to me is that this stars Mary Tyler Moore and fucking John Astin, which are, I mean, that's, like, two of my all-time favorite comedic actors on a show together.
Amazing.
And I did not know that.
It's crazy that you're just learning about it this year.
I did not know about it until, I think, August is when I discovered it, and then January, I think, is when I finally watched, like, the pilot episode, and then this episode, because it's a John Astin-centric one. But the show also stars, and this is what's also crazy, is it stars Katie Sagal...
Peg Bundy,
also Leela from Futurama.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, she is... Okay, who does she play? She isn't in this episode. She plays Joe Tucker, who is... I'm trying to find out, like, what her character is. She's the cynical, chain-smoking columnist Joe Tucker.
Maybe she has, like, a advice column. We didn't get that deep in this episode.
Yeah.
But I will say... The first scene opens with her kicking a vending machine, and before I knew who the actress was or recognized her, I already drew hearts in my notes. I love this character
she's
already.
She's smoking a cigarette, kicking a vending machine. Why? She's got to be at the forefront of other episodes, so I need to find those, definitely.
Yeah, I would love to see those.
Also on the show is Carlene Watkins, who plays Mary's neighbor Susan, and she is notable because... She was Bob Newhart's wife on his 1990 sitcom, Bob, which is after this. And her fiancé is James Tolkien, who is the principal from Back to the Future.
Wow.
He's like, he's the guy, I always picture him when Marty in Back to the Future 2 goes back to dark 1985, and he's the one who, like, kicks open the door and he's wearing, like, his pajamas with, like, a bulletproof vest and holding a shotgun.
Yeah.
It's like, that's him. He's in. That's him.
He's also in Mary.
Yeah. So it's like this, the cast is nuts. The fact that there was a show with Peg Bundy, Mary Richards, and Gomez Adams is nuts. But if Mary had not been canceled, Married with Children would have looked a lot different.
And again, a different multiverse.
Mary Tyler Moore and John Astin were not doing much after this, so they could have afforded to have stayed on for a while.
Is the boss a well-known actor?
Who is he? The boss's name is... He is James Ferrantino. He appeared in nearly 100 television film and stage roles, among them The Final Countdown, Jesus of Nazareth, and Dynasty.
Oh.
He was nominated for an Emmy Award for Outstanding Performance by a supporting actor in a drama special for his portrayal of Simon Peter in the miniseries Jesus of Nazareth. And he was the father of Dr. Doug Ross on ER. So, yeah, I could see that. He could be George Clooney's dad.
I see it.
I could see that. So, yeah, get ready for us to talk about a show that you have never seen, that neither of us had ever, that you've never seen.
Definitely not.
That I did not even know existed until August of last year. And I've still not even seen all of the episodes, but you know what? We know enough to talk about this one, because you know what? Everyone's a critic.
Everyone's a critic.
So this week on Must Have Seen TV, we're talking about the Mary episode, Everyone's a Critic. It's the fourth episode of season one, and was written by Tom Straw, and directed by Will McKenzie. Here's how Wikipedia describes the episode. Mary's vague comments about a play she was supposed to attend but didn't appear in Ed LaSalle's Theater Column Review. Elena, how accurate is that description?
On a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is spot on, 9 is close to accurate but not quite fully honest, I would give that a 6.
Which is...
Yes, that happened in the episode, but absolutely not what the synopsis of the episode is. No.
And honestly, like, that's probably a synopsis that just someone, it's Wikipedia, like, someone wrote it. I mean, maybe someone scoured, like, TV guides from there, like, pulled out the official synopsis, but I'm feeling, no, some Mary superfan did that.
Truly, that's the last 4 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. So, like, in order to get the whole picture, because on YouTube, this episode doesn't have the opening credits, so I was like, well, I want us to see the opening credits, because we always talk about the theme song on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I played the opening of the pilot, and then the opening credits. So we can talk about the pilot opening, because that sets up the scene. The pilot opens up on Women's Digest in Chicago, which is where the show is set, and it is folded, like, immediately.
Immediately. She's like, hey, Paula, who's her boss. How's it going? Oh, your job ended right now.
Yeah, it's done.
The current issue on the newsstands was our last issue.
It's just like such a turnover.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's another magazine. What did they say?
Moving
like
moving in this week.
What was the name of it? It was like
Mercenaries Weekly?
Yeah. Something about mercenaries. It just, like, they're moving in, like, right now.
That was a good joke.
And Mary's all like, well, you know, we've worked with these people for so long, and they'll band together. And she opens the door, and everyone is, like, literally, like, ransacking
the place. Peacing out. My company is closing down our New York office at the end of April. And it was a similar thing where definitely upper management thought everybody was going to be sad, and because it's moving to San Francisco.
Oh.
And they were like, everybody's gonna come. We're ready for this. And it was kind of like, you open the door and everybody's like, oh, okay, bye. You guys go. We're gonna stay here and get other jobs.
No loyalty.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
So it was worth it because then we got to see the opening credits, which was Mary on a job hunt going throughout Chicago. It was very much that classic old MTM Productions, because like in the 70s, Mary Tyler Moore Show and Bob Newhart Show and Rhoda, like, it's all very much, like, them walking through the city. And, like, here
Chicago.
It's, like, establishing the locations. So that's what this is.
It reminded me a lot of Perfect Strangers.
Yeah, that too.
And I think that was in Chicago, too, right?
That's also in Chicago.
Yeah. And it hit a lot of those, like, This was more newspaper specific.
Yeah.
Like, there were definitely, I lived in Chicago for 4 or 5 years. And I'd be like, I know where that building is. I know where that building is. It was very establishing this is Chicago.
So I wonder if you could re-edit, like, the Bob Newhart opening credits, the Perfect Strangers opening credits, and the Mary opening credits, and, like, map out Chicago.
Oh, for sure.
When people watch the Bob Newhart show's opening credits, it drive, like, who are from Chicago, it drives them crazy, because his route to get to work is, like, a 2-hour route. Because they just chose what looked good, and it's like, he goes in the train in the, like, opposite direction from the building that they use and stuff. But, like, the theme song for this was so, it was just... Blah.
It was like dorky music.
It was just like, it was like jazzy, sexy, 1985. Like, I can't, there was no melody to it. When you think of the Mary Tyler Moore theme song, it's just like,
iconic. Yeah,
it grabs you by the heart, and I don't, you know what? You can't repeat that. So they did not even try.
You know, speaking of repeating and not even trying, just don't call the show Mary.
That's the other thing.
If you're gonna have Mary Tyler Moore, who's in it,
yeah,
who already had a show called Mary Tyler Moore, where she played someone named
Mary Richards,
just don't call this show Mary.
They should,
even if the character's gonna be named Mary Brenner.
Yeah, call her Chicago Eagle.
Yeah.
And it is definitely weird. It's weird that this didn't catch on, because it's like they're banking it all. I'm like, this is Mary Tyler Moore. You guys loved her for 7 years and she's been gone. This is 1985. And I think Mary Tyler Moore ended in like 77.
Oh, wow.
So she had been off the air for a while. She did have a sketch variety show in the late 70s that tanked, like 79, that had Michael Keaton and David Letterman in the cast.
Wow.
So
everybody's connected.
Yeah. So then we switched over, after watching the opening credits, we switched over to actually watch the actual episode, Everyone's a Critic, which opens up, as we said, with Ed approaching Joe. Ed LaSalle.
Ed is the theater critic.
Ed LaSalle is a theater critic, played by John Astin, who listeners of this podcast know, I love him truly, madly, deeply. He is basically pumping Joe, Katie Segal, for information.
On a play. And the first very funny joke, full of jokes. This episode was very funny.
Yeah, well, like, let's take it up to the macro level for a sec. Macro. This was good, right?
It was a good episode. It was, the jokes were good jokes.
Yeah.
Some of the deliveries were so surprising to me. And I just don't know if I'm not familiar with TV shows from around this era or if they were just really good choices. Like, Mary's line deliveries sometimes caught me off guard how well done and funny they were.
It's these are all, like, pros. I mean, well, you have John Astin and Mary Tyler Moore heading up the show as, like, they are pros of pros. Like, you have legendary sitcom performers who have been doing this at this point for 25 years.
Yeah, and what's her name, Katie?
And Katie Segal. I feel like this was probably one of her first things.
And she crushed it. Like, just
one scene,
the
killed it.
Confidence of her character was very... There was, like, it was magnetic.
Yeah.
I was drawn to that character. I wanted to know more.
We didn't.
She
get
got
it.
The first joke, which
Wait,
was.
What was it?
It was something about how bad.
Good morning, Joe Tucker. How'd you like the play last night?
I am sure people have experienced worse nights at theater. Abe Lincoln springs to mind.
Yeah. Because she's, like, smoking, hitting the vending machine, and Ed is pumping her for information, which we find out is because he's. Basically started having an affair with an actor's wife, and
actor's working from 8 to 10 every night, so that's the only time he can see the wife.
He can go bone this lady, and so
he can't do his job, so he's been giving away the theater tickets to his coworkers.
Yeah, and then in the morning asking them what they thought, and then turning that into his review.
Interrogating them.
Which I, like, I've talked about this often. I love John Astin. I feel like John Astin is one of the greatest sitcom actors of all time because he is, like we said, everyone is so confident. He is so in that character, knows who that character is, and you see him go from... There's an arc in this episode. Like, it starts out, he's so even-keeled.
Yeah. Very smooth. Also love to talk about the arc of this episode. I don't know if now is the moment, but it plays into... Because there's no... A, B, C story structure.
No,
they kind of set it up like the A story is going to be Mary and Frank going on this fake date. But really, it just kind of snakes back into... It starts with the Ed not doing his job. You get distracted. That's going to be about their fake date and how much Mary hates that Frank's a womanizer.
Yeah.
And then it goes right... It, like, bleeds back
it
into
all,
the
it's
Ed
It's also
story.
Connected. It's very interesting structure. Again, for a show that...
Kind of
was
like,
dismissed.
Yeah, it's kind of like instead of a... It's almost like instead of a three-scene Harold, it's like a two-scene Harold.
Yeah.
Because then both of those things resolve in the last scene. The womanizing and...
Yeah.
And the ticket scam with Ed all kind of come to a head.
All
and it's
once.
Such a cool way to see a... sitcom structure.
It's more
out.
Like a thing that we would end up seeing Seinfeld do, because Seinfeld would tie all their plots
That's
together
true.
At the end.
Yeah.
It's also kind of similar to News Radio and how, like, the plots on that show just barrel into each other and, like, knock each other over like dominoes.
I gotta watch more News Radio.
So
I think
good.
I would like it.
Oh, yeah, because right after Ed pumps Joe for information, she, like, sits back down. And then, like, Mary Brenner, her two friends, Susan and Les, come in. That is Bob Newhart's eventual wife on his third sitcom, Carlene Watkins, and Back to the Future 2 principal. I can't remember what his name is. They come in because they've just gotten engaged.
And they don't work there, which is very confusing.
No, they don't work there. They're her neighbors, and
they
stop by her office. They show up because they just got engaged.
And she has a ring now.
And she has a ring, and they know nothing about each other, which is their whole bit.
And it was great. That was such a funny, tightly written scene.
Yeah, because it's all like, he says something about his child, and...
Yeah, because, I think it starts with... Frank, the boss, comes in, the womanizer comes in and grilling him, like, make sure you're not making a mistake, don't, you can still back out.
For my friend, other than my failed marriage, I was a confirmed bachelor myself. You were married?
I told you that.
Oh, no, you didn't. I think I'd remember.
He's like, oh, I just haven't told you that. It's not like I didn't tell you about my kid.
He's like, oh, you had a kid with this woman? Oh, no, not with her.
Ew, not with her.
Yeah.
It was so well done.
At the end, he's like, well, how old is the daughter?
How old is she?
Well, let's see, I'm 40. She'd be 25.
You were a father at 15?
You grow up fast in the circus.
It's a very good, honestly, I think comparing this to like an improv scene, like that was a very good improv scene. Like
really,
that's very much a good
really
button.
Well done. Yeah.
You would sweep at it right after that.
Yeah. And then and that also, you think that's going to be more relevant in the structure.
Like a C-plot or something.
Because it's the second thing that happens, and it's just never referenced ever again.
It does feel like it's, this is a show where, well, you know, the neighbors are series regulars, and like Katie Sagal's characters are regular, so we have to come up with something for them to do, even though this is very much a Frank, Mary, Ed LaSalle episode. So they just like... gave them like little things to do and then moved on to the main thing.
Yeah. But if it almost, that felt like a sketch in the middle of a sitcom.
Totally
episode.
Plucks right out. But it apparently is their whole thing, is these two characters' whole thing is this rushed marriage. Spoiler alert, after episode 10, CBS like shelved the show for like a month, and when it came back, they were cut.
Interesting.
They were not in the show anymore. You can see how they
plucked
right out.
Yeah, if it's a workplace comedy, why do
And you can see they wanted it to be like, Mary Tyler Moore's show had the newsroom and then also her home life.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these shows try to do that. Like, Dick Van Dyke and Bob Newhart and all those shows had a home and a work.
Like, Home Improvement.
Home Improvement had that.
Hence the name.
Yeah.
So good.
And then they were like, eh, forget that. Let's just focus all on the work stuff.
Huh.
So then right after that is when... we get that scene between Frank and Mary where they have, like, a talk about, like, love and treat, like, women and stuff
and
like that,
he's
right?
He's like, you don't know about my past. You don't know where I've been. I've been hurt, too. And they're both very cold with each other.
Yeah. So, do you get a will-they-won't-they vibe from them? Is that what you think they were trying to go for?
It felt... yes. And it felt very forced.
Yeah.
Especially kind of the way the episode ended, where he's like, I'll need your help. And then, I don't know, it was really good. He said something about like, oh, I'm lying, but it feels not as good. And then she came back.
What are you doing tonight?
I'm busy.
You're lying.
True. But I'm feeling a lot better about it than I usually do.
And then he got that smile, like, she'll be mine someday.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to, I guess, fulfill the promise of... because there was weird shit with Mary and her boss Lou on Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ed Asner, where like the penultimate episode is them actually going on a date just because they're like, I don't know, why not? And then it's like super awkward when it happens because it's like, this is creepy. You're a father figure. You're also like noticeably older than me. Like
on the show, it's awkward. Or as like, an audience member, it's awkward.
Well, as an audience member, it's awkward because you spent six seasons being like, that's Mary and her boss, Lou. Like, she's
kind
a father
figure.
Kind
of like Liz Lemon.
Dating
and,
Jack.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird. So it feels like with Mary, they were like, you know what, let's avoid that by actually making them, like, the same age, like, peers, single.
And they have that, like, they're both, like, she's divorced. They've been through it.
Yeah,
like,
she's
they're not
divorced.
New to the game.
Yeah. Divorced, no kids, loves the Cubs, even though she's never been to a game.
Yeah. Which is funny, because when I lived in Chicago, I lived in Wrigleyville for 2 years. For over a year, I had to walk past Wrigley Field to get to my apartment, and I've still never been to a Cubs game.
Oh, I've been to one Yankees game, so I've been here for 11 years.
I don't know if I've been to a Yankees game. I've been to a couple of Mets games.
Well, it's a baseball game. They're all the same,
they're
right?
They're all the same.
Baseball. I would love it if people tweeted at me about that.
Imagine if somebody told you all TV shows were the same.
I've seen one.
I've seen them all.
Oh,
your brain would explode.
I mean, I would get mad if you were like, I've seen Mary Tyler Moore Show because I've seen Mary. I'd be like, oh, God.
I've seen one X-Files episode, so I get it.
I get what Buffy's like. And I'm like, no, thank you. So, I'm trying to remember what set up this great line that it took me a while to get. So, Ed LaSalle's, the name of his column is Stepping Out with Ed LaSalle.
Yeah.
And he says, he gets it, Mary does something to make him mad?
Because she calls out, like, you're a columnist.
Well, it just sounds like something Joe Tucker would write, that's all.
Are you implying that I copied someone else's style?
No, no, I'm just saying...
Mary Brenner, you're coming very close to stepping out of line with Ed LaSalle.
That was so funny.
Took me a while. I was like, his name is Stepping Out, and the joke is Stepping Out of Line.
Yeah.
It's a purposely bad joke.
I think I was laughing,
joke.
And you looked at me like, what was
I was
so
like,
funny?
And then I got it. I was like, that's great. So that was really great. But yeah. Then, I want to say it's one of my favorite moments of the episode comes up right after that when he's got tickets to this William Hurt play. Mary Brenner walks up. And one thing I love is John Astin always calls her Mary Brenner.
I love that. I don't know if Mary it Brenner. Was a writer's choice or an actor's choice, but I love, because you know that guy.
Yeah.
You know that guy who...
I'm going to say it's an actor somebody. Choice.
I want to say it's an actor. It feels like an actor choice.
I've said this so many times on the podcast, but I'm like, I did this thing a couple like months ago where I just went through John Astin's IMDb page and I watched all of the sitcoms he guest starred on. He came in for one episode.
Whoa.
Which he did that for like 15 years. He would come on, do with like A. Webster, A. Charles in Charge, an episode of Odd Couple. And he comes in, and why I love him is he kills it every time. No matter what he's playing, and they make him play a wide variety of people, he's always so confident. He projects his voice. He has this very, like, theatrical flair to him. And I just love how much of a good, like, I don't know, pinch hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball. Like he is. So I feel like, yeah, he would be like, you know what, my guy would definitely always say Mary Brenner. So mm-hmm. Mary Brenner walks up and he's like, Mary Brenner. And she...
Mary Brenner.
Ed LaSalle.
William Hurt.
I don't understand. Now you're William Hurt?
No. Ed LaSalle.
Mary Brenner.
William Hurt.
Oh, come on, Ed. What is it?
It was a very who's on first.
Yeah, I wrote down.
Another baseball thing.
Yes. I wrote down who's on first. And I was like, that's so... That was just like a fun little... I love fun little like wordplay moments like that.
It was delightful.
And seeing like two of my faves doing it. I just loved it so much.
Also, before I miss the moment, I just want to say how much I admire your dedication to your craft that you do something as bonkers as going to someone's IMDb page and watching every episode that they guest starred on.
Because that you can stream.
That's awesome. I wish I loved something as much as you love TV.
Yeah, it's an issue.
Brett said something beautiful earlier because I was admiring his collection in his office and I don't want to mess up the wording. He said, we all have to have something to escape into.
Yeah, that's the name of the game. That's why this thing exists. That's why I've been doing this for almost a year.
It's beautiful.
At some point, Mary... I mean, I'm having a hard time remembering a lot of the details of this episode. What's wrong with me?
Format. It's not traditionally formatted.
Yeah, like,
it feels very natural.
It flows into it. So, like, she calls her boss Slime. Like, he comes over. Is he trying to get... He's trying to get the ticket from her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he just wants to see the play.
He loves
just
William Hurt.
He genuinely wants
to see
the play.
And she's like, she calls him Slime.
Oh, how can I put it? Frank, when it comes to women, I think you're Slime.
It's hilarious. I was like, man, that's your boss.
Yeah.
But hey, she comes from Women's Digest.
So she doesn't take shit from anybody.
She's like a, you know, a legendary journalist at this point, probably.
Probably.
So she can do that.
And she is on the phone with her mom, and that ends kind of in a funny way, where it's basically like,
no, mother, I didn't call everyone else I know first. Do you want to see the play or not? Okay, that's a good idea. Why don't I just call a guy?
And he's there, and then it comes into like this accidental date that happens, where she's like, well, if I give you a ticket, we'll be going on a date.
And he's like, that doesn't mean you're on a date with a guy sitting on the other side of you. Why would it mean we're on a date?
Yeah.
Great point.
Yeah, good point.
And it worked on her, too.
And then she's like, okay, here's a ticket. And then it's all like, well, let's go get a late dinner. Come by my place, pick me up. It snowballs immediately.
It's a very fun snowball. You watch the snowball get bigger and bigger, which is fun, too. And it is very much like, at that point, it is even vague to the audience whether or not he wants to go on a date with her or if he's stringing along because she so adamantly doesn't want it to be a date. And it's just like a sport for him at this point.
Yeah. That's an unhealthy boss-employee relationship,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
I can't imagine, like, doing anything, like, social with a boss like that. Or even, like, getting, like, backed up into the situation where you have to ask your boss, is this a date? That's awkward as hell, right?
Yeah. Also, I said this while we were watching it, but knowing where the facade of this building is in Chicago... It's there's no way that the theater's more than five to seven blocks from their office, and the play, she's picking him up at 7.
Yeah.
So why would they even go home?
Yeah, like, so, like, the next scene we see is her going to his apartment at 6:45. She's there early. And he's in a bathrobe.
And it's dark outside.
And so I've tried, like, so what is January? You know, it's January, Chicago. So, like, I guess it would be dark by 6:45.
That's true.
Yeah. But, the map this out. So what time would a play start?
But is it really January 1st? Why are they at work on New Year's Day?
Oh, it wouldn't be January 1st. So it's probably, like, January 1986 or December 86.
That's, and I guess it's a newspaper, so they'd still have to work.
Yeah, they definitely, yeah. So, like, what is the day? Like, what time does a play start? 8? 7?
7, yeah, 8.
7, right? So both of them are also dressed for a play at work, because he is wearing a suit and she's wearing... Did she change clothes?
She changed clothes.
Because we noted that act. That
it was like an Easter outfit.
Yeah, she was wearing like pastel tights and the same like shade of pumps. Like,
as the tights. All, that was the thing in the 80s. I remember seeing that in magazines all the time.
And then this like big shoulder pad, like...
It looked like a jacquard.
It looked like deck furniture, like that kind of thing. And then like a brooch or something, like the...
I blocked that out.
Yeah, we're like the... You know, we're like a man with... We're like wearing a tie.
Like a bolero.
It was like a bolero without the string. It might have been a bolero, honestly. Like, who knows?
And I said
they would just... Also, at a news place, they're working till 7. I would 100% say.
For sure. And... He said, if I take the train, it would take me an hour and a half to get there. But then the view out his window is basically of Lake Michigan from a high rise.
Yeah.
So you still live downtown where the theaters are.
And also, if it take him an hour and a half, so doesn't mean it takes him an hour and a half to get to work? So then did he leave work at 5, get home at 6:30, to then put on a robe in between, like, putting on, I guess, another suit?
There's a lot of logic holes in this commute. Yeah.
So I feel like they would be working until 7 and they just walk over to the theater next door.
Absolutely.
That's what I would do.
Absolutely.
Anyway, but while she's there, we do get an amazing comedy. I really like this scene where the phone rings.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's like, answer. And she's like, I don't want to answer your phone. Alec, Mary is like constantly like trying to set these boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Not working.
Never works.
So he tells her to answer the phone, and then when she does, he's like, who is it? And it's like, Samantha. And then
also, I like that she answered it, DeMarco Resident.
Yeah, it's very like secretarial. She's very clear, like, I work with him and I'm here. Like, I'm not, like, she's very clear. And then when he finds out that it's this Samantha person, he's like, hang up on her. I love that she won't do it. And mm-hmm. she just instead starts being like a therapist towards us.
If I were you, I'd get out more, you know? Meet new people, expand your... Hello?
For the slime line, I wrote delivery and put a giant check mark next to it. Because the slime line was one of those really funny...
Good. Like,
delivery lines. That's from a few minutes ago, but I just saw my note.
Yeah, we gotta talk about that slime line. Gotta make sure it gets all of the...
Also,
accolades.
Paper tickets, exclamation point. They are passing around paper tickets in the
80s. Yeah, that's very 1985.
Because he had to have the actual... Like, when you were given tickets, you were given a piece of piece paper of ticket.
Although nowadays, they still make you print out. I still have to print out tickets constantly. Like,
that's
I just saw...
For a theater, you would.
I saw Mark Hamill and Frank Oz talk at the 92Y, and I had to print out a ticket for that.
That's true.
So then there's a knock at the door, and it's another woman.
Yeah.
Because it's Thursday, and that's their date night.
Yeah.
Two dates.
Probably best joke of the show.
Was the...
He's like, we're supposed to meet Thursday. It is Thursday.
Hi, lover. Debbie. Ready to go? Frank, who's this?
Debbie, what are you doing here? We're supposed to see each other Thursday.
It is Thursday. Frank, you put out a daily newspaper. How could you not know what day it is? Oh.
And so then it gets like this awkward thing of... Mary just ends up handing the ticket over to him so he can take her, and she just like is like, fuck all this.
Yeah, and he has a good character move in there too, where he's like, fine, let's go to the theater together, and they could drop me off at her place on the way, so
11.
I'll hang out with her at 11. And she's like, no.
No, fuck this. That's gross. So she leaves, and then she leans back in for her kiss-off line of,
and Frank, if you can't get a cab, take a flying leap.
And the way the show presented it was like this really scathing, like venomous thing to say to someone.
I mean, it's like take a flying leap off a building, I think is the rest of that phrase. But it's also still like, that isn't
that bad.
So I was like, why don't you go step on it?
Yeah, sit on it, doofus. Like, take a flying leap. Maybe she calls her boss Slime and tells him to take a flying leap. So she's testy. Mary Brenner.
She's testy, but he's also the kind of person who invites that.
Yes, because he's being a grosso.
And I think he likes the sport of it. He likes having someone like match him blow for blow, which again feeds into that will they, won't they, because they're matched. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you ever watched Hercules and Xena back in the day, but when they finally cross paths, they had this fight that they implied went on for hours, maybe days,
because
they were so matched that not one or the other ever won it.
That's good.
I haven't watched a lot of TV, but I was a big Xena fan.
Was Hercules on her episode? Or was it was an episode of each?
I forget whose episode it was, but the other one came onto it.
It's pretty good.
And they had this like with swords fight, and neither of them won.
You know,
as far as I remember.
And in the long run, Lucy Lawless has won.
That's true.
For sure.
For sure. She was on Parks and Rec.
So the next scene we see is maybe my favorite scene of the episode, I think, because it is Mary comes into work the next day, and Ed is, like, waiting. He's at the elevator bank, and he's, like, as soon as he sees her get off, he, like, leaps, and he's like, hey, so, how'd you like the play? And then we get a good, like, I don't know, 2-minute scene.
It was very long.
Of two people who have not seen a play acting like they have seen a play and talking to each other about the play neither of them have seen.
Yeah.
What bothered you about the play?
Nothing.
Oh, come. The piece hasn't been written. It's without a flaw.
Well, what didn't work for you?
For me? Well, like most dramatic vehicles about nuclear holocaust, the ending seemed a bit unresolved.
Right. Even though you know the big one is coming, it doesn't satisfy.
Exactly. Boom.
Because he can't admit he hasn't seen it because it's his job. And she was about to admit she hadn't seen it, but then he kind of guilted her.
Yeah.
I had to suspend my disbelief.
Yeah, it wasn't
a
top
bit.
Of your intelligence.
Yeah,
definitely.
That it would only take two lines to guilt her into lying.
Yeah.
But
she doesn't want to, like, disappoint him. And so she's like, and also, as far as she knows, it's just like, he doesn't matter. Like, it's like, whatever.
Yeah, he already wrote the review.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. He doesn't need, like, no one needs to know what I think.
I'm just entertaining him.
And also to have, like, Mary on the show is, her character is so similar to Mary Richards, which I think was a critique of this show, is like, it just feels like it's the same character.
In a new city and a new
there's,
job.
Yeah, there's not, because she has the exact same amount of, she has a backbone when she's pushed far enough, but the rest of the time she's kind of timid or like, kind of like, I don't want to like make waves and I'm very like giving.
Mm. And this was kind of the first glimpse of that part of her character.
And so she, because she doesn't
and
want
she's
to say,
single too.
She doesn't want to say anything negative about the play. She's like, I don't like, and also like, she also doesn't think that her opinion is like, hey, no one needs to know. Like, it's fine. And then they finally
I don't
it
think
out.
She really thought that. Mm. I think she kept saying that as excuses to not talk about
it. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, to just get out of it and shove it off.
Because she does seem, like, pretty smart, pretty sharp, pretty confident.
Yeah.
I'm not that familiar with Mary Richards, but I think they gave her, like, this divorce. They gave her, like, this rich history. She was the head, like, the editor-in-chief of this magazine. So she has more authority and more status.
Yeah.
And it's more like, she doesn't mean it that her opinion doesn't matter. It's just like, if I say this, this old man will leave
You'll
me
alone. You'll leave me alone.
Which is, you know, that happens.
Yeah,
people,
that's true.
People use that tactic.
So I love that. And then we find out, and then, like, he writes the review. So how many days pass? Is there
the
a
next
day?
Day.
That's an. Is there a scene change, though? Do they change clothes?
Yeah. Yeah,
because
something else happens.
Because the review gets published.
The flying leap, but oh, because he had said he saw it the day before. But how did it get published the next day?
Yeah,
didn't see the play walk.
See, I wish I had noticed if they had changed clothes. Because he gets the information from Mary at 9 a.m. He writes the review. If it gets published, that paper's going out. Is that an evening paper? Basically, like, because the thing escalates because Frank, the boss, has the paper, and he saw the play last night. So, yeah, the paper does get... Oh, maybe he just turned it in for review. Maybe it didn't get published. Maybe that was it.
Because, yeah, so it's later that day. Yeah, and he's turns like, in the review.
And Frank is like, none of this happened in this play.
Because they talk about it as a tragic cause. Yeah, it's called the fallout shelter. Yeah, it's called the fallout shelter. So they think it's about a nuclear holocaust. And Frank comes in and he's like,
This was a comedy.
People were
rolling in the aisles.
Well,
that's one man's opinion. Oh, that's 300 people's opinion. They were rolling in the aisles, Ed. Didn't you notice?
And so that review, like, that uncovers everything. And it's really smart because Ed is like, well, Mary said all that. Like, Mary thought the same thing. And Frank is like, no, Mary gave me her ticket. She didn't go. And then, like... Ed gets mad at Mary. Mary's mad at Ed. Frank is mad at Ed. Like, everyone is so... It's a nice little, like, layered fuck up. It's pretty great.
I think my favorite moment comes now of the whole episode. And it was such a subtle little moment that could have been easily edited out. But Frank goes to his office, says, I want to see you in my office, and walks away with the hot thing. And they just do this little walk and talk, just ad-libbing under their breaths. You don't hear really anything specific that they're saying. And they're both just two little kids who got in trouble. They're like,
into my office. We're talking.
What are you talking
about? Why?
And it's like this 30-second walk to the office. Even from a weird angle. Like, why was the camera there and they were walking diagonally to this office? It was very cool.
Oh, I bet this was so much fun to work on. Well, probably not, because it wasn't getting good ratings. That's probably a stressful environment.
Yeah.
But otherwise, but the pilot was probably a lot of fun. When it's still like, we're working on a show with Mary Tyler Moore and John Astin from, like, two of the Cheers writers.
Wow.
Ken Isaacs and David Levine were, like, big Cheers writers in the first couple seasons. So they, like, made this show for her.
It's definitely one of those where there's no way it can fail.
Yeah.
It's too big to fail.
So then we get the end of the episode where Ed, like, reveals all the thing about, like, well, I've been sleeping with this actor's wife, etc., etc. Well, it's funny because Mary's like, I'm sure he has a great excuse. I'm sure he's, like, family is sick, he's got a purse, and then he's like, I'm sleeping with an actor's wife.
And for a second, I was like, why did he just say actor's wife? Why didn't he just say I'm sleeping with someone? But it became very relevant that it's an actor's only reason. Wife. The only reason that the hours... coincide with his work hours.
I loved his justification of, like, I'm not
proud of what I've done, despite the fact that I find myself smiling most of the time.
That was very sweet.
Or smiling most of the time. And I was like, oh, this little asshole's in love. Which is why Mary, like, comes with, like, defend him. Was like, he's in love, so don't fire him.
And then he has one of his good... His running thing was, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being, you know, I would recommend it to my family and buy them tickets. 9 being,
I wonder
like,
if he does it in every episode.
Perfect.
I wonder if that is.
Oh, that would be cool if it...
What a very specific, like, catchphrase t-shirt I could make of just like that. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being...
Really funny.
God, no, like, yeah. I should make must-have seen TV merchandise that is just the most specific... No one would ever get it except for other listeners of this podcast.
Do.
Maybe that's a good way to viral market. So yeah, then we already talked about, like, the very end of the episode, like, he doesn't get fired, and then
He also gives her a 9.
On the Edlisle scale of 1 to 10, 10 being heaven, 9 being someone you'll always remember, 8 being interesting but not quite as stimulating as you would like, a 9.5. I had to take off the half because she's married.
Oh, I hope everything works out with them. The end of the episode is Mary's, like, they're back and forth about lying.
Ed's gone. It's Frank and Mary.
Yeah. And then that's, you know, will they, won't they?
Yeah.
Won't they?
Here's the thing.
Yeah?
Because the only other show I've watched with you for this podcast is Rhoda, it's hard not to make a comparison. Like, woman moves to a new city, immediately meets this rough and tough man's man, Joe.
Oh, boy.
And here, it's woman starts a new job, immediately meets this rough and tough,
boss dude,
slime ball, man's man.
Yeah.
Womanizer. And they are both matches for each other. And in Rhoda, they immediately, in the first episode, like, hit it off.
We're doing
and,
this.
And they
I'm
they
moving
to
a city to for you.
And it's interesting that here there is that work dynamic that plays into it. I think it's more important to play the will they, won't they. I don't know. They're being too subtle about it if it's meant to be there.
Yeah, they're not, because, like, Sam and Diane is also, like, there immediately. Ross and Rachel is there immediately. Yeah. This is
It's
weirder.
Almost like, it's not will they, won't they, it's are they, aren't they, will they, won't they, gang. Oh. we're like a level
Yeah,
above.
Which is what audiences really respond to. Just keep distancing yourself from the actual good
are
plot.
Are they, aren't they, will they, won't they, gang.
Oh my gosh. Are you ready for some must-have facts?
I'm so
about this.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The ratings for this episode were obviously not good enough, and I don't know what they were because
they were probably a 2.
They were probably like, yeah, not good. The ranking for the season, again, don't know, but the top 5 shows this season of TV were: number 5 was Cheers.
Whoa.
Number 4 was 60 Minutes. 3 was Murder, She Wrote. 2, Family Ties, and 1, The Cosby Show.
Wow. 60 Minutes is usually higher.
Yeah, 60 Minutes having a rough year that year, only in only number 4. But yeah, I mean, like, Cheers, Family Ties, and Cosby Show, that is the...
Trifecta.
That's the peril. That's the confederates, the confidants, the comrades. Those are the other shows that's airing alongside. My brain just farted them. Cohabitators. There's a weird thing about the 80s, though, where the 80s are so...
Contemporaries.
Oh, golly. What is my problem?
Okay, the
80s. The 80s are so family sitcom heavy.
Yeah.
They are so... Even, like, Alf is about a family with an alien.
Yeah.
And so, like, Cheers and Night Court...
Were the anomalies.
Are the only... I'm trying to think, like, workplace sitcoms from the 80s. It seems like Mary... Like, if they wanted to relaunch Mary... Maybe they actually should have given her a husband and kids for the 80s, because that's what Family Ties and Cosby Show, you know? Like,
yeah.
I naturally am not interested in those kind of shows usually. I like them sometimes. So I like this premise, even though it is very much just the Mary Tyler Moore Show, but it's a newspaper and not a news station. Yeah. It's weird.
It's weird. Because it does feel like they're chasing the glory instead of... Like, feeling out what was in the air.
What is happening right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or they were like, well, there's a lot of that. Maybe it's a good time to
do this.
Go in this other direction.
Yeah.
And instead,
we
got, you know, Full House, Family Matters,
yeah,
Home
all those are coming, and it's like, oh, boy.
Step by step.
Oh, boy. On IMDb, no one has ever rated this episode.
You could do this. A scale
what would
one
you
to
give it
stars.
On a scale of 1 to 10? And there's, like, you know, no, nothing to compare to.
I would probably go in hard with an 8.
Oh, an 8?
I think I would give it an 8 just as a standalone, no other context of what's going on at this time. It was a tightly written episode with an interesting structure that made me interested in seeing more.
Yeah.
And the jokes were so funny.
Yeah. Well, I would say like 7.5.
You took the half off because it was married?
Because it was a married show. Because it was Mary's show. No.
Oh, because it was Mary.
I mean, what would we... So, like, let's... okay, so here's the other trivia. The Wednesday night lineup that it aired alongside, this also might be part of the problem, was it was it led in the night. So it did not have a lead-in. They were banking on, like, Mary to bring in the audience. Nice. Which, I mean, like, I can see why CBS would think that. Because it is a Mary Tyler Moore show. That makes sense.
Still,
it debuted. It, first of all, like it debuted in December, that's so it wasn't even, it wasn't part of the fall lineup initially.
First, it's in December.
It was, and then it was followed by another new show called Foley Square, another sitcom that also only lasted 14 episodes. And then it was followed by Crazy Like a Fox and The Equalizer, 2 hour long dramas.
I've never heard of any of those.
One was about they're like cop dramas. Like one was like a private eye drama. And the other, I can't remember the other one, but like yeah. So, they, first of all, like, weird lineup, starting late, and also having no lead-in. I can understand why CBS would think that they could have banked on Mary Tyler Moore to lead it, but, like, if they wanted to really nurture it, they should have started it off, you know. They should have...
Not on a Wednesday, not in December, and not at the top of the night.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost... It was almost like the network begrudgingly took on this show.
Yeah. Well, you can also see from the top five CBS sitcoms in the mid-80s, because Cheers is NBC, 60 Minutes is CBS, I think Murder, She Wrote was CBS, but, like, Family Ties was ABC, I think.
This is your world.
Yeah, and Cosby Show is NBC. I can't think of mid-80s CBS sitcoms. So, like, there might not have been much to pair it with at that time. Newhart. Newhart was on at that time. They should have paired it with Newhart.
That would have been smart.
Ugh. So, yeah, it only lasted 13 episodes, and the last 3 episodes were retooled to be more work-focused, like I said. What would we have done? So, like, let's you know, 2018 quarterback.
Here we go.
This 1985-86 13-episode show. What would we have done to fix it and save it? Is the structure sound and the cast sound as is?
I, again, loved the structure. Loved the cast. I think if it's 2018, I don't know if this would fix it, but I'll tell you what I would want to see.
Okay.
I'd want to see her have a daughter. Or a son. Like, I want to see her be a single parent.
If they're going to go, if they want to have a home life and a work-life balance, mm-hmm. don't give her two neighbors who are flighty and, like, they just suddenly got engaged.
We don't care about that.
Not a good enough plot to last for a series.
But give that story to a daughter, and now we care.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Give
that's
her a
great.
25-year-old daughter, or, you know, 19, like, some age where that's yeah, give her like an 18, a crazy
she could
decision.
Have an 18-year-old daughter at
if
that
the
age.
Daughter comes in at the top of the episode, here's my ring, here's my fiance. Yeah. Like, well, she would probably know the fiance. Then it's not, like, nothing. Yeah. And then if Frank still has that same conversation with her daughter's fiance, it's hitting so much harder than just, like, here are two old people we don't care about. And then if that guy says, like, well, I have a kid, it's a whole new level. And then, like, I grew up in the circus.
And at this time, make that daughter played by Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, there you go.
1985.
Who drowned then? Winona Ryder? She too young? Yeah.
She might be a little...
She's a little ripe.
Although Lisa Kudrow might be a little bit too young for that, too. I'm trying to think of who was, like, 20 in 1985. That's a conversation for another time.
We could spend 10 minutes just casting
just
the daughter.
Thinking. Yeah, but I think that, again, like, work dynamic is good. I, you know, got strong characters. I think it needs to be more of an ensemble. The fact that Joe is such a strong character...
And they didn't use her for
They don't even use her. I think that they needed to find a more... They need to make it a Joe, Ed, Mary at work, like, trifecta. I mean, Joe sits across from Mary. Like, they should have had a lot more banter back
and maybe
forth.
She does. We've only seen
maybe
this
it's other episodes.
And you've seen the pilot.
Also...
I think just be clear, like, decide will there, won't they?
Yeah, is that
and
a
if
thing?
It if it's going to be more of a mentorship, which I don't think she needs a mentor.
She doesn't need that shit.
She's truly his equal.
Yeah.
In this situation, which is why she can get away with slime and all that.
Yeah.
Then maybe just make it a will they, won't they? But make it more fun.
Yeah. There could be a lot of, like, Dave and Lisa on news radio, sort of. Because, like, in that pilot episode, they sleep together immediately. And then after that, they have to, like, deal with, like, are we dating at work? This is a secret thing. Like, that could be interesting.
They're a little too on the same note. Like, if you think about Cheers, mm-hmm. it's a fun will they, won't they, because they should. Like, it's a will they, won't they, but we all know they shouldn't.
Yeah, because they're opposites, totally. Yeah,
and here... And I don't love her moralizing all the time. Like, have a different... I don't know.
I need to know more about his point of view, because I feel like in the pilot, they hit a lot more of the point of view of... because they really just chase headlines. They put her on the help center line or something, where she's supposed to, like, write up stories about, like, salacious shit that people call in. And she doesn't like that. And this episode is, like, none of his... Like, he ends up, like, moralizing about ethics. Like, Ed LaSalle, you shouldn't have done this, because that's, like, bad ethics as a critic, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't know, like... You know, but is he or is he not? Because he's very ethically dubious when it comes to ladies. But mm-hmm. at the newspaper, he's very, like... This episode is very forthright. So it's like... Call that out.
But then ends up on the side of, and I can't reprimand you for this because I don't know that it happened and it won't happen again. This is a fun game. My brain really likes thinking about how to make it different to make it successful today.
The crazy thing is like, it is so... I could also see that if you're in 1985 and you love Mary Tyler Moore Show, it's probably in reruns everywhere, maybe. It was one of the most important shows of all time. And you tune in and watch this, I can see it still being so fresh in your mind. You'd be like, this is just a copy of the show I've already watched. I've already watched this show.
Yeah, that's why it feels like the stakes have to heighten in it. Like, give it a daughter. The ex-husband needs to be around.
Yeah.
So that if she starts leaning towards Frank, this guy comes in and messes that with that.
That feels kind of like...
Because there's two, like, manly men being like, this...
It's kind of like Veep.
This is where I'm at.
Like, that happens in Veep a little bit, because, like, her daughter is in the White House, but then her ex-husband is, like, a recurring person, and there's always a will-they-won't-they with, like, will-they-won't-they again with her ex.
That's interesting.
Yeah, like, that would have helped differentiate it. Also, the fact that she doesn't seem to have a friend.
Well, that neighbor, she just asked her to be her maid of honor.
Yeah, and, like, the cool thing about Mary Tyler Moore Show is that she had a Rhoda, like, you know, and then at work she had, like, a Murray. If... She does not... She seems to have everyone at arm's length.
Mm-hmm. And Joe and... Even if her and Joe are work friends, they don't feel... Whatever Rhoda and Mary were is not what Joe and Mary could even become.
No. And especially, it seems like everyone at work might be a little bit prickly. Like, Ed is crazy.
My brain just sparked because this is... What was that show called? Suddenly Susan?
Suddenly Susan, yeah.
This is that.
Yeah.
There's, like, the slimy boss who was Judd
Nelson.
Yeah. Brooke Shields was basically Mary.
Yep.
What's her name was that, like, quirky... Oh,
Kathy Griffin was this, like...
She was, like,
redhead.
Joe.
Redhead, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then who was the other guy?
Well, then there was, like, Nestor Carbonell was the photographer who was, like, the Latin guy.
Was he bald? That's just Shoot Me, yeah.
But still, yeah, there's a lot of that same DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame. I wish it had worked. But if it had worked, you know, Katie Sagal would not... I mean, Peg Bundy is one of the most iconic... Like, that's an iconic era.
It's so interesting seeing Katie Sagal in her own skin.
Yeah,
which I don't know that I ever have.
Not basically in drag.
Yeah.
Peg Bundy is a drag character.
Yeah.
That's
what
it is.
She's just in drag all the time on that show.
Because of this, she, like, the one time we see her, again, it was also, like, a VHS transfer on YouTube, so kind of poor quality, but she was like, her hair was in her face.
She just looked
like a
cool.
Wearing, like, a butt, like, she's, like, very, like
casual.
Yeah, cash.
She's probably, I wonder if she's padded up on Married with Children.
Oh, definitely, right. Also, she also seems like she's, like, 8 feet tall on Married with Children,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and here
which
she
didn't, yeah.
Normal height.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too. She has, a Barbie figurine.
Yeah, she does.
Silhouette.
Yeah. Who would you say had the must-see performance
in
this
must-see
episode?
Oh, the must-see performance. I know I should say Ed.
No.
Because of... You.
Yeah, it's like pressuring.
I can feel it in the air. Well, the 30 seconds we got of Joe played by Katie Sagal were my favorite, but Mary Tyler Moore killed it with those line deliveries.
Yeah.
She really I laughed out loud a lot watching this, and I rarely do that.
Yeah, she's a
even
natural.
If my laugh is just ha. I see what you were going for there.
Obviously, I'm repping for Ed LaSalle. rubbing for my John Astin. I can't help it. He's so good in this. And it's such a different character from Gomez. It's such a different character. Like, he's so good at playing very different characters. And I just think he's adorable and I love him.
Mary Brenner. And I also like that he says Mary Brenner so much and it doesn't feel condescending. Which normally if you say somebody's first and last name, it feels like you're trying to...
It feels very zippy. Kind of hover it feels over like...
Mary Brenner. I just need to know.
He has a persona that he is affecting. Mm-hmm. Like, must other people see this episode?
I'm going to say yeah.
I'm going to say it is on YouTube. And honestly, if you've listened to 55 minutes of us talking about this and you haven't watched it,
you've basically seen it.
Yeah, you have seen it. And also, like, thank you.
thank you.
But yeah, I think it's definitely fun. And you know what? You can't go wrong with a good free YouTube thing.
Amen.
So now we're going to do a quick segment that I call from the great TV sitcom book.
Wow.
Where this is a book published in 1983. For reference, Cheers is a new show, as far as this book is concerned, that they don't know if it's going to have a future.
That's wonderful.
This catalogs basically every single sitcom from 1949 to 1983, and I will flip through it, and then we will discuss one of the ones that we land on the page. Just let me know when you want me to stop flipping.
Stop.
We're on the 1960 to 1961 TV season. Do you want to hear about Guestward Ho, Harrigan and Son, The Jim Backus Show Hot Off the Wire, My Sister Eileen, or Pete and Gladys?
I gotta hear about Guestward Ho.
So Guestward Ho looks super racist, just going off of the picture. Advertising executive Bill Hooten, played by Mark Miller, is fed up with life in New York and decides to purchase, sight unseen, Guestward Ho, a dude ranch in New Mexico. And so he moves there with his wife Babs, Joanne Drew, and their son Brooke, Flip Mark. When they arrive, they find their dude ranch is a dud ranch, run down. The episodes revolve around their adjustments to their new life and how they are trying to round up some paying customers for the ranch. J. Carroll Nash played Chief Hawkeye, the owner of the local trading post, an Indian trying to win back the American continent for his people, but who, in the meantime, reads the Wall Street Journal and sells authentic Indian trinkets made in Japan. The show ran for 1 year on ABC. Yeah!
Yowza!
Yeah, the picture is of Chief Hawkeye his shop?
It's definitely... What is this called? Red Face?
Yeah, that's not a... That's probably not. So it's bad.
That's not a person who is
so
of
So what
that
do you think
ethnicity?
About Guestward Ho?
I'm afraid of it.
The premise of New York executive buys
it's
a dude
Green
ranch
Acres,
is
right?
Hey Dude.
Oh.
Did you ever watch Hey Dude on Nickelodeon?
I didn't. Yeah. It would come on and just the name I didn't like.
Oh, whoa.
I didn't really like Western things.
Dude.
I didn't like Western things.
As
so
a child, it was on Nickelodeon, so therefore it was my duty to watch it.
I was more of a Salute Your Shorts.
Okay,
kind
yeah. This is basically, it is Green Acres meets Hey Dude.
What I'm learning is basically you should open this book to any page and write a modern version of whatever the premise is, and it will probably do fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a weird show. So
Guestward Ho.
Guestward Ho. Also bad name.
Bad name.
Really Guestward.
It was Guest WARD.
It's like four
it was
word,
one
like
word.
Guestward, like four word, but Guestward. What is the pun there?
Maybe it's like a hotel, like Westward Ho.
Oh.
And it's a hotel, so it's like Guestward Ho.
Oh my, that is so bad.
That is
horrible. You have to take a flying leap to get to that pun.
Off a building.
Oh, Lord. So, where can people find you on the internet if they want to talk about other sitcoms that only lasted a season?
They can always hit me up.
I do want to point out, Guestward Ho lasted longer than Mary, most likely.
Upsetting.
Anyway.
I kind of want to... No, I don't. I just don't want to know.
What? You want to watch
about
it?
Nope.
I'm looking at Guestward Ho, 38 episodes! One season, 38 episodes. So that is so much longer than Mary.
3 times longer.
If I could turn back
time. On the internet, I am on Twitter at ELLLENA, Elena. And same on Instagram. I'm a little bit off the grid these days, but start there and see where it takes you.
Track me down. And go on IMDb and rate this episode.
You know I'm gonna.
For sure.
And that does it for this week's episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guest, Elena Chmielewski, for dropping by and talking about Mary with me this week. Next week on the show, I'll be discussing a show that ran for, I don't know, 30 times longer than Mary? The Simpsons! We'll be talking about The Simpsons episode, You Only Move Twice. You Only Move Twice is in Season 8. It is Episode 2 of Season 8. And you can buy that Simpsons episode on iTunes or Amazon, or probably replay it in your head, because you've probably seen it a million times. Until then, I want to hear from you. Tweet your questions about sitcoms to at MustHaveSeenTV or send them to MustHaveSeenTV@gmail.com. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr at MustHaveSeenTV. If you like what you've heard or you want to suggest a show for me to watch, please leave that information on iTunes in the review section. Rate and review the show on iTunes. And if you want me to watch an episode, just tell me the title of the show. It just has to be from the 20th century, and also, like, not an episode that I've done already, and also an episode that I can actually buy or stream somewhere. Also, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. Read the words that I write at Decider.com. The theme song is Patricia's Moving Picture by The Go Team. Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast, and thanks to all of y'all for listening. And I'll see you next week on Must Have Seen TV.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.